And I'd like to encourage us to pray together as a church family. And 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18 says this, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together and to lift our voices in worship, to come together and to turn to your word and to grow together as a church family, as the family of God, to be changed and transformed through studying your word together, through lifting our voices in songs that declare wonderful gospel truth. So Lord, I pray that all that we do this morning would be worship. So Lord, we've been worshiping you in song, but we pray we'd continue to worship you as we turn to your word. And Lord, we thank you that our church has a variety of ministries that we partner with and that we host, near and far. And this morning, we specifically want to lift up the widows ministry, that ministry where so many widows from our region are able to come and enjoy a meal and hear a devotion and hear about you. And we just pray your blessing on that ministry. We lift it to you. And Lord, we know that in a room this size, there are many medical needs and emotional needs, physical needs, all sorts of things, a few that come to mind. Lord, we lift up Janet Miles with multiple systems atrophy. We thank you for continued healing and recovery for Donna Olshafer. Good to see her this morning after recovering from knee surgery. We think of Nancy Ryberg recovering from surgery. We think of Peg Barr. Lord, we lift her to you, and we thank you for your healing touch in her life, and we pray for continued healing as she's now hospitalized in rehab. We think of little Liam McKenzie, Joe and Sandy Cutchall's grandson, and just pray for your merciful touch as there will be surgery scheduled for July 29th. And Lord, this morning we just pause and say thank you for all the students and leaders that had the opportunity to participate and challenge, and we thank you for our family of churches, the Evangelical Free Church of America, and the opportunity to have a youth conference in Kansas City where so many gathered together and worshiped you together, studied your word together, served you together. And Lord, we do pray that there would be just a continuing eternal impact from all that happened at Challenge. We just thank you for it. It's so good to see everybody back. And Lord, now as we turn to your word, Lord, we're each at individual places in our walk with you. We're at individual moments in our lives. Some are experiencing moments of great joy and we rejoice. Others are experiencing sorrow. But Lord, we pray that your word would encourage us and strengthen us and challenge us where each of us uniquely are. And Lord, that we would meet with you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, today as we turn to God's Word, to the Bible, we're turning to Psalms, which is the hymnal of the Old Testament and really of the Bible as a whole. And there is a vast variety of expressions of prayer and praise found within the pages of the Psalms. I'm sure our students and leaders who were at Challenge and just spent a week together studying the Psalms would be able to tell you that in the Psalms you find the shouts of joy, rejoicing in the Lord, and you also find the tears of suffering and defeat. Just real difficulty. Psalm 13:1, for example, we hear this cry, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Can you hear the weight and the pain in those words? But then Psalm 150 and verse 6, the final verse of the Psalms, in this verse we find this joyful call, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord." In the Psalms, we find expressions of prayer and praise that are really fitting for every occasion. And I do think it's really fitting for us to turn to a couple of shorter psalms this morning as our students that just went to Challenge were in the Psalms all week. But with that in mind, we're turning to two different psalms, specifically that's Psalm 67 and Psalm 117. And Psalm 67 is brief. It's seven verses. And Psalm 117 is even shorter, being only two verses. It's the shortest psalm and the shortest chapter in the entire Bible. And in both of these psalms, we will see displayed for us and proclaimed in all its splendor God's heart for all nations. Psalm 67 is a prayer for God's blessing that looks to the nations, declaring, desiring that they would join together in praising the Lord. These words are repeated in verses 3 and verse 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. So I'll read Psalm 67, and I heard from some of my some students this morning that I guess 67 is kind of an interesting number for some people, and it's kind of a silly thing. And I see some people smiling, so I said I can't change the number, so it is Psalm 67, and we'll just get that out of the way. I saw some people laugh. It's all taken care of now. But this is Psalm 67, verses 1 through 7. To the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, Selah. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth, Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. And then a very short psalm, which is basically a very short hymn, Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. And hear this. For great is his steadfast love toward us. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. So as I was reading these psalms, can you hear and feel God's heart for all nations? In both of these psalms, we're face to face with a resounding call for the nations to praise the Lord. Think about it. Our created purpose is to glorify God, and in so doing, to experience true, enduring joy. And genuine love for others desires for them to come and praise the Lord. And so really, we can summarize everything we're considering this morning saying this. We're reminded of God's heart for all nations. As Israel in the Old Testament was blessed to be a blessing, we've been blessed to be a blessing. Our created purpose is to know and glorify our Creator. And true, enduring joy is only found in worshiping the Lord. So the psalm brings us to beginning in prayer. It begins in prayer, asking for God's blessing. And if you're following along, you might have noticed the words of introduction. Scholars call them a technical term, the superscription. You can use that at lunch or even at the potluck dinner this evening, and you can sound sophisticated. You can say the scholars have call the heading to a psalm the superscription, but it's really just the setting. And it says this, to the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. So this is a worship song with stringed instruments. This was set to music. So the picture here is of a worship song. Picture people singing out in praise to the Lord, and maybe an ancient guitar or some other stringed instrument, playing this as these words were sung with joy. And in verses 1 and 4 of Psalm 67, off to the side in most translations of the Bible, but in a few translations, also in the footnotes, you'll find the word Selah. And you say, I'm not quite sure what that means. And Bible translators don't know exactly what this Hebrew term means, but we're confident that it's a musical term. So this is, again, another pointer to the reality that this is set to music. This is a worship song. The New Living Translation translates interlude, and that probably gets at the general idea, and it's probably close enough, though it is still somewhat uncertain what Selah means exactly. But at the very least, it needs to remind us that this is a worship song. Worship involved music and musical instruments, and you see this as people are praising the Lord here in this psalm. This is a prayer asking for God's blessing. After all, the very first words of the psalm say, "May God be gracious to us and bless us." And that closely echoes the priestly blessing that's found in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. These words will probably be familiar to you because I read them as the benediction almost every week. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance or his face upon you and give you peace. And the original audience of this psalm would have immediately noticed the connection between the priestly blessing in Numbers and the Old Testament law and the Pentateuch. And the psalm, they would have immediately noticed this prayer for God's blessing and seen the connection. And Psalm 67 is a prayer for blessing that has a very distinct purpose. And we see this purpose in verse 2, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. So if I could paraphrase this, this is basically saying, God, show your favor on your people, but it doesn't stop there. God, show your favor on your people so that the world will see and take notice. Do you see the purpose? God, bless your people so that the world will know, so that the peoples will praise you, and so that the world will see and take notice. There's a very specific purpose for this prayer requesting God's blessing. People need to know God. We have to face the reality that everyone is not okay. Those who don't know God are at best feeling around in the utter darkness. They're in peril. They're in slavery to the fear of death, as Hebrews 2:15 says. Jesus came to, and then it says, deliver those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Those who don't know Christ as Savior are not okay. They need to know. They need to know the Lord. And this prayer asks for the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham in Genesis 12. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. So all the way back at the beginning, God called a man named Abram, who is later renamed Abraham. That's who we know him as. And this is chapter 12 of Genesis, verses 1 through 3. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God blessed Abraham for a specific purpose. He blessed him so that he and his descendants would be a blessing to all the peoples of the world. Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. And here in Psalm 67, this theme is in view. This is a prayer asking God to bless his people and to enable them to be a blessing to a lost and yet unconverted world. And so the purpose of this request for blessing is that the world may know the one true God. So tell yourself, I'm incredibly blessed. But don't stop there. Tell yourself, I'm incredibly blessed, and then the next step, I've been blessed to be a blessing. If you know Christ as Savior, you're incredibly blessed. I'm incredibly blessed, and there's a purpose to it. I've been blessed to be a blessing. And if we take a step back, we quickly see that this is an unselfish request. This isn't God bless me so that I can have an easy and comfortable life. And certainly many requests for blessing today sound like a request for an easy, prosperous life and for material blessings. But this sounds very different because the purpose of this is so that the nation, so that all peoples will come to worship and praise the Lord. This is different from so many requests which focus on our comfort and the fulfillment of our desires, asking for maybe health and comfort and prosperity. And I certainly believe that we should be honest with God about our feelings in prayer. And if you want a comfortable life of ease, by all means, talk to God about it. But I'm not convinced that the answer will be yes. But this request is different. This is asking God to bless his people and use them as a vehicle to bring his blessing to others. The goal here is people from all nations worshiping the Lord. And this prayer continues expressing a desire that all the peoples of the world would joyfully join in worshiping the Lord. Verses 3 and 5 say exactly the same thing. I don't know if you noticed. You might want to mark these words down in your Bible. They echo the same thing. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. This is a bold prayer asking that ultimately people from all nations will be moved to join in praising God. Let the peoples praise you is an Old Testament way of saying in what in the language of the Lord's Prayer says, your kingdom come. Let the peoples praise you, or your kingdom come. And then in verse 4, we come to a powerful picture of all the peoples of the world joyfully singing. We read, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. And we need to understand and remember and ponder that genuine, enduring joy is found only in the Lord. You know, lots of things will bring temporary happiness. But notice I said the word temporary. Genuine, true, enduring, permanent joy is only found in the Lord. The only place it's found. Psalm 16, verse 11 speaks of this joy that is found in the Lord, saying this, you have made known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That joy is only in the Lord. And if we want what's best for others, we will desire for them to know the Lord and to experience the true, enduring joy that's only found in Him. And so the goal here is for God to be glorified and enjoyed by His people from all the nations of the world. The goal here of missions and evangelism is a greater number of worshipers. The goal of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ is that more people will bow their knee to Him in worship. You hear that idea? Let the peoples praise you. And the second half of verse 4 reminds us of God's sovereignty. He's in complete control. Listen to these words. For you judge the peoples of the world with equity, or you might say uprightness, and guide the nations upon the earth. God providentially governs the affairs of nations. Daniel 2:21 says it this way. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. That is tremendously wonderful and comforting news. Who's in control? God is. He is in ultimate control. And this ought to be the source of comfort and perspective in the midst of the uncertainty of life. God guides the nations of the earth. And in the future, there will be Jesus' direct rule when he returns and fully sets up his kingdom. Revelation 20 describes a day when he will reign on earth for 1,000 years. And the prophets anticipated this day. Isaiah 2:2, it shall come to pass in latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains. And it shall be lifted up above the hills, and the nations shall flow to it. Can you see this picture? Nations flowing to the mountain of the Lord. And then Isaiah 2 and verse 4, he shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. We are not there, but that day is coming. It is the certain future. It depends because it is the because of the validity of God's promise. When Christ returns, this will be so. So think about it. There are at least a couple of foundational motivations for missions and evangelism, for sharing Jesus with others. And first, and most of us will recognize this right away, fundamental foundational motivation is simply this: we seek to spread the good news because those who don't know Jesus are in peril. Romans 1:18 says this: "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." We are sinners by nature and choice, and our default human condition is spiritually dead under the wrath of God. And Jesus is perfectly clear that he is the one and only way to be saved to eternal life. He specifically says so in John 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And the letter of 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12 is clear that there is no middle ground. Whoever has the Son, that's the Son of God, has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So if you know Jesus as Savior, you have forgiveness of your sins and eternal life. And the only other possibility, and there is a real weight here, and we need to feel it, is being lost, spiritually dead, and facing all eternity in hell. And that's the reality for all those who don't yet know Jesus. There is a deep and legitimate motivation for sharing the good news of the gospel when we consider those who don't know Jesus are in peril. It needs to be said. There's a weight associated with it, but it needs to be said. Having said that, there's a more God-centered motivation, and this second motivation for sharing the good news is incredibly important, but sometimes gets overlooked. And it's what's primarily or specifically in view here in Psalm 67. It is this: we're motivated to spread the good news out of a deep passion for God and His glory. Think about it. I want to say that again. We're motivated to spread the good news out of a deep passion for God and for His glory. Now say this to yourself. It's important. It's not about me. It's all about God and His glory. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's all about God and His glory. God created everything out of nothing, and He created you and me. All people have been made in the image of God. He has designed us to show forth, to reflect His glory. And this means that God is robbed of the glory that rightfully belongs to Him when we fail to worship Him. Remember, God created us, and therefore we owe Him. As those who are created in the image of God, our purpose is to glorify our Creator. What is the purpose in life of every person, whether they yet understand it or not? The purpose of every person being created in the image of God, is to glorify God. We have been created to glorify our Creator. Now, the historic Westminster Longer Catechism opens with a question and then an answer that gets at the sense of this. And it's saying this: what is the chief and highest end of man, men and women, that's people, that's what they're getting at, mankind. What is the chief and highest end of man? And then the answer to the question is so clear. Man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and enjoy Him fully to enjoy Him forever. So glorify God and fully to enjoy Him forever. So what is our created purpose? To glorify God and to enjoy knowing the Lord, to find our joy in Him. So say to yourself, God created me and He demands and deserves my worship. Revelation 4:11 teaches exactly this: worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Did you catch that word, worthy? He is worthy. We have been created to glorify God. It's our highest calling. And if you're thinking, I don't quite understand, think about the evil of plagiarism. And do you know what I'm talking about? Plagiarism is quoting someone else's work as your own. It's stealing credit that is due another. And we must not fail to acknowledge and worship our Creator. He is worthy. He demands and deserves it. He's our Creator. And when we fail to worship our Creator, we're robbing God of the glory that He rightfully deserves as our Creator. So a passion for God and His glory is a deep motivation to spread the good news, because we passionately desire for God to be worshiped as He should be. So putting all this together, we seek to spread the good news because those who don't know Jesus are in peril. And even deeper than that, we seek to spread the glorious news of the gospel out of a deep passion for God and for His glory. Remember Psalm 117 and verse 1, praise the Lord, all nations, extol Him, all peoples. That is quoted in Romans 15:11. Romans 15 quoting Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol Him. And we've been spending, you know, a lot of time over the last couple of months in Romans, and here, even as we've taken a break and turned to the Psalms, we're looking at a passage that is directly quoted in those latter chapters of Romans that we've been spending time considering. Now, if you're following along and in your Bible, you can look into Psalm 67, and you'll notice that there are seven verses. This will be a little technical, but I think you'll see it. So verse 4 is the middle. And if you look closely, you'll see that the themes of verses 1 and 2 and 6 and 7 are centered around God's blessing. And verses 3 and 5 are identical. Can you see that? So verses 3 and 5 are identical, and verses 1 and 2 and 6 and 7 have the same topic. And this is a common Hebrew poetic structure that points to the main point in the middle. Verse 4. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Can you hear the theme of all nations and God's heart for all nations? This praise that God's blessing will lead to the nations joyfully lifting their voices in worship, praising the Lord. And then the psalm concludes reflecting with confidence on God's blessing. The final verse, verse 7, God shall bless us, let all the ends of the earth fear Him. So you have this picture of the ends of the earth fearing the Lord, holding Him and His word in reverence. This is an expression of confidence that God will bless His people and that ultimately His name will be acknowledged to the ends of the earth. That is the certain future. It will happen. Again, this is blessing with a purpose. The expectation is that God's glorious rule will be acknowledged to the ends of the earth. His kingdom will come. Habakkuk 2:14 says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as waters cover the seas." As waters cover the sea. This is coming. It is the certain future when Jesus returns. This day isn't here yet, but it's coming, and missions and evangelism is moving toward it. The gospel is spreading throughout the whole world. You know, verses 3 and 5, that picture, let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. Pointing forward in the future to worship coming from all nations, pointing forward to Christ's return and His rule on earth, 1,000 years, Revelation 20, and ultimately to eternity, the new heaven and the new earth. This day is coming. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. So let's span the centuries from the world of the Old Testament, some 2,000 years before Christ's coming. So we're spanning, this was written about 1,000 years before Christ's coming, so we're spanning about 3,000 years of history, culture, continents, and language. Psalm 67, about 1,000 years before Christ, and we're 2,000 years roughly after he has come. And we have a fuller picture now because Christ has come and we have the complete Old and New Testaments. Obviously, when the Psalms were written, the Old Testament wasn't even yet complete and the New Testament was not yet written. And the theme of God's concern for the nations runs throughout the entire Bible, both the Old and New Testaments. So I'd like to fly through some key places in God's Word that speak about this theme, beginning with and remembering God's judgment at the Tower of Babel and the resulting scattering of people throughout the world in judgment. God confused their language. You can read about humanity rebelling against God and saying, let's build for ourselves a tower and make ourselves great. And God says, no, Genesis chapter 11, and he confused their language and they spread out all over the earth. Then the very next chapter, Genesis 12, God called Abraham and blessed him to be a blessing to the scattered nations. And this theme is picked up here in the Psalms, Psalm 67 and 117, where we see the theme of all the nations praising the Lord. And then, of course, Jesus, when he gave his marching orders to his followers in the Great Commission, says this in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And then finally, we see this theme, that of people coming from all nations and peoples around the throne in heaven, Revelation 7, 9, and 10. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, hear this, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So can you see this thread, this theme, running throughout the entire Bible of all nations, all peoples, all the way back to Genesis, the Tower of Babel and the scattering, through Abraham, the Psalms. I could mention Jonah, but we won't take time this morning. And then the Great Commission, the Book of Acts, and then ultimately Revelation, where there's a people from every tongue, tribe, and nation around the throne. Picture the countless millions who recognize that salvation comes only from the Lord. Picture this multitude who have been rescued from the wrath of God through the blood of the Lamb. And ask yourself, do I long for this day? Am I looking forward to it? This is the ultimate fulfillment of let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. This is the ultimate fulfillment of let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Ponder this picture, a multitude so great that it's uncountable, surrounding the throne in heaven. The multitude, of course, being made up of those who have been rescued from the wrath of God by the blood of the Lamb of God. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the substitutionary atonement. He shed his blood so that we can be forgiven of our sins and rescued. So, the question, does this psalm reflect the prayer of my heart? Perhaps some of us need to adjust our attitudes. Maybe you're reminded this morning that we ought to be motivated to share the gospel of Jesus Christ because those who don't know Jesus are in peril and out of a deep passion for God and for his glory. One of Satan's lies is to get us to wrongly assume that other people who don't know the Lord are okay. A cultural lie that has permeated so much, and I'm being direct here, but is let everyone follow whatever works for them. You know, I'm a huge proponent of religious liberty, and we desire people to come to know the truth. Someone may think someone other than Jesus or some other belief system other than Christianity works for them, but ultimately it doesn't work. Genuine love desires for others to praise God. Not to say, well, whatever you like, you can pick it. Here's the thing. You need to know Jesus. Genuine love desires for others to praise the one true God. Our created purpose is to know and glorify our Creator. And true joy is only found in worshiping the Lord. We need to be reminded of God's heart for all the peoples near and far. That's around the world in unreached Muslim and Hindu cities. And that's friends, family, neighbors, and co-workers who are next door and across the street. And remember, God chooses to use us to carry His gospel, the good news. So I'd encourage all of us to ask, how does my thinking need to grow and change this morning? Who do I need to carry this glorious good news to? This news that in your presence, God, in your presence is fullness of joy, eternal pleasures, not just temporarily, notice eternal pleasures forevermore. Who do I need to carry that news to? And ask yourself, who is carrying the good news in a hard place that I need to stand behind and support? It's the desire of my heart that all of us can boldly and sincerely pray what Psalm 67 prays. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. We're reminded of God's heart for all nations. As Israel in the Old Testament was blessed to be a blessing, brothers and sisters in Christ, we have been blessed to be a blessing. Our created purpose is to know and glorify our Creator, and true enduring joy is found only in the Lord. Now, I need to quickly address a possibility. Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, I'm lost. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not so sure about all of this. Let me just share that I'm thrilled, we're thrilled that you're here. And it's a desire of our heart that this would be a safe place for you to investigate who Jesus is. And we sincerely desire that when you're ready, you will bow your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and to call out to Him for salvation on the basis of His death as our substitute, paying the penalty for our sins and His victorious resurrection. We desire that this would be a safe place for you to investigate who Jesus is, to read the Gospels, to hear about Him. Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death." That's what we deserve. "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So if you haven't yet given your life to Christ and you're ready, you could pray something like this in your own words. "Dear God, I know that I am a sinner. I want to turn from my sins and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that He died for my sins and that you raised Him to life. I want Him to come into my heart and take control of my life. I want to trust Jesus as my Savior and follow Him as my Lord from this day forward." And Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." So if you have come to the place where you say, I need for the first time to make this commitment, in your own words, make that commitment and be sure to tell someone. And if you have questions, come talk to me, come talk to Pastor Chris, talk to someone else. Ask about what it looks like to become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray even now that as we think about the joy that comes from knowing you, the joy that is found in relationship with you, that the prayer of our hearts would really be, let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. And let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Lord, may we sing for joy, even as we close in song. And may our joy be so clear, joy that's independent of circumstances, that people would ask, why are you joyful? And we'd have the opportunity to share this gospel message, and that more would come to know you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.